The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast.
Put me in. It's overtime, we're going in.
72hourprint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing signage and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com. Welcome, Pewter Report readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. I'm Mark Cook, along with my boss man,
Hello.
Mr. Trevor Sikkema, who is now the publisher.
Congrats on the promotions, yeah, Trevor.
We've demoted it. Scott. He appreciate is now it, just a beat writer slash intern.
I'm just a guest on the show.
He's just a natural switch.
Yep. You know? And our as we just mentioned, our intern, Mr. Scott Reynolds. How are you, Scott?
Not an intern.
Come on, dude.
Doing it for too long.
Give him his respect.
Yeah, okay.
All right. He's a beat reporter.
Senior beat Bucks beat
writer. One of the best that we have.
Senior is right. As the elder statesman of the staff, Mr. Scott Reynolds. Over there in the corner hiding is the Grizz.
I'm here. Hello. Glad to be back.
And we're so happy to have you. And Matthew Matera.
Hello, gentlemen.
Underscore something.
Matty 4 underscore Matera 2.
That's it. Real easy to follow. How many followers do you have, Matty underscore?
Almost 1,000.
Wow. Those people have worked
on Instagram or on Twitter.
Help the man out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Give Maddie a follow.
Yeah, give Matt a follow.
If you can remember that.
Don't give Taylor a follow.
No.
Schmatt.
No.
Wait, who's close to 1,000? Is he? Dude, you got to step it up.
I know, man. I post great shit. I'm at post great stuff.
You might not have talking to the microphone too next time you talk. But anyway, we won't worry about that.
Post great tweets. Follow me at T Jenkins Tampa.
There you go.
All right. Yeah. Follow
Tampa Bay Vipers.
T Jenkins. No, not the Vipers.
T Jenkins Tampa Bay Vipers Tampa. There.
He's a dual beat reporter.
Underscore.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, we've got a very important person we need to speak about, our good friend Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial.
That's right. The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Chris Garrido at Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsor of PewterReport.com. Let me ask you some questions out there, Pewter Nation. Say you died today. Do you have enough life insurance to protect you and your family, to pay off your house and any credit card debt, to make sure that your kids have the tuition that they need to go to college, to make sure your spouse doesn't struggle? Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help. Let's say you didn't die. Let's say you live until you're 80 and you retire at age 65. Do you have enough retirement income for 15 years of unemployment? Because that's really what it is. Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help. I've known Chris for over a decade, and he's my retirement and life insurance guy. Let him be yours, too. Give Chris a call today. Westshore Financial, 813-434-0037 for a complimentary, no obligation, preliminary conversation, and you'll be glad that you did.
And I'm going to be glad when I do. I really am.
I'm going to be glad, too. And you know who is going to be really glad is Chris. He's been waiting on your call.
And I've just, I've pretty much exhausted all of the Cooks family finances. I got burned here back in January.
Were there too many cooks in the kitchen?
Well said.
No, no. Got burned when I ordered a bunch of T-shirts that said John Gruden was going to be the new coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Welcome back, Gruden T-shirts.
So yeah,
I've got a garage full of those.
Well, I mean, when Jay gets fired this season,
it's a possibility
they might bring him back on staff in like a lesser role. So that, you know, I'd keep him in the garage.
And Bruce, you know,
at least keep the T-shirts in the garage.
And Bruce, you know, when he retires this year after Jameis has a bad year, then they're going to be looking for a new coach next year.
Oh, wow!
Shots fired.
Just kidding. Jameis is going to have a great year. Bruce is here at least one more year. At least.
I agree. Interesting. Kevin Minter in the last Kevin Minter Bucks camp diary was really praising Byron Leftwich and said that this is a guy the teams are going to be after. When they see what Leftwich does in his first year as a true play caller in Bruce's scheme, that he's got the charisma, he's got the name as a first-round draft pick before, he's got the credentials as a player, and the tutelage under Bruce Arians, if he really lights it up as a play caller, he could be in demand for a head coaching job sooner rather than later. I tend to agree with Kevin. If those things happen and the Bucks become a playoff team and Jameis really earns that contract extension, Byron Leftwich might be here just for a quick moment.
Yeah, and I think that this is a good parallel to a couple of different topics that we'll talk about today with the Cleveland Browns and with Jameis Winston. And I think the reason why Jameis is Leftwich's ticket to a potential head coaching role is because of how well he can relate with players.
Yeah.
And I've had people ask me all week about what I think about the Cleveland Browns, with them coming into town, and then the natural question is like, hey, how do you think they're going to do this year in the regular season? And on paper, it's an extremely talented roster.
It is.
Baker Mayfield, very charismatic, talented quarterback. That he has weapons like Odell Beckham Jr., like
Jarvis Landry, David Njoku.
Right, he has a ton of guys. There's
Nick Chubb.
So much potential with this Cleveland Browns roster, but it's all going to come down to how well Freddie Kitchens can handle all of these egos, relate to his players, keep them under wraps. When things go bad,
right,
still band the team together, because we've seen in
Jacksonville.
Like
Hugh Jackson did.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Noted for such success. We saw in Jacksonville the last couple of years, Jacksonville became one of the most talented defensive units in the NFL. But they started to really fall apart, because when it started to go downhill with them, it free-falled. Everybody started looking out for themselves.
Jalen Ramsey
included.
All the egos
took over, and the team tanked because of it. Circling it back over to Byron Leftwich, if Leftwich can prove that he can relate well and connect well and get the most out of Jameis Winston, that was a big selling point in him having his hands on with the quarterback and him becoming an offensive coordinator so early, because he's played. He relates to these players very well and better in natural ways. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, he's a young African-American head coach who played the quarterback position.
Yeah.
So him relating to these players is so much more natural for not only him to bring to these guys, but also for these guys to accept from him than exists in other, you know, whether it be older 40, 50, 60-year-old white head coaches.
Right.
It's naturally there for him. And if he does well with Winston, that's what I'm just saying, that could really propel him to
big time
head coaching role.
And what really helps, too, is the players that Jason Light has brought in. Mike Evans is the show, right? Mm-hmm. He is the guy on offense. O.J. Howard, you've got Cam Brate. I mean, you're talking about some of the most humble guys in that locker room.
Right.
There's no divas.
Right.
And I think that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We saw DeSean Jackson be a diva down here, and who did he argue with? Todd Monken, right?
And Dirk.
They were kind of at it. And now Todd Monken, who's kind of like a no-nonsense coach, is up there
in Cleveland
with OBJ, Jarvis Landry, and Baker Mayfield.
Right.
And if it doesn't start off well there, the dynamic with Monken and Kitchens, who's very much like Bruce Arians, kind of old school, no nonsense kind of guy.
Yeah.
If the wheels fall off the wagon early, that thing could implode in Cleveland. And
especially when you got a first time head coach too.
You know,
I mean, trying to handle, like you say, all the egos and things like that. It's not going to be easy. But as far as the Byron Leftwich thing goes, I've never really gotten any indication for him that's his career trajectory. I mean, he joked about Bruce calling him and getting him off the golf course. I mean, he loves to play golf.
Right.
I don't know that he's a guy that even wants all that responsibilities. Now, Kevin made a great point, and I thought that was one of the better Kevin Minard training camp diaries. I thought it was pretty insightful. But he does make a good point. People might come calling. Doesn't mean that Byron Leftwich necessarily wants to leave too, because I think he realizes there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot he has to learn. I mean, it's not like he was an assistant for 20 years somewhere and just got promoted to offensive coordinator. I mean, he had a few games last year, and this is year one for him, and he hasn't done anything yet. I don't give a crap what happens in the first two preseason games. You know, let's see where they are 8 games into the season, and then maybe. There's a lot of young, bright coaches on this staff. And there's some old, bright coaches on this staff. Harold Godwin is a guy.
Agreed. And you know what? And I think, too, if something were to happen to Bruce in season, Todd Bowles is the guy to take over.
Absolutely.
Right? He's the next guy that would be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach. And at the same time, though, with this timetable, let's say the Buccaneers make the playoffs. And let's say they make the playoffs again in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And after 2 years of really stellar defense, if it happens here in Tampa, Todd Bowles might go, and Bruce might say, well, I want one more year. I've been close. I've been in the playoffs. I want to get that ring before I'm out. And at age 68 or 69, he might say, I'm not ready to leave yet, and then Todd goes. Maybe Byron Leftwich then becomes the heir apparent.
Yeah. No,
in
I
that
agree.
Scenario.
And I think that it's Mark is right to, you know, we could look to the future and what could be for Byron Leftwich, but you certainly got to pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, it's very early in what
way
could
to
be.
Go, way to hype things up, Kevin Minter.
But at the same time, Bruce Arians has also said, like, I want these guys to move on to bigger and better things. Like,
right.
I'm training these offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators to be head coaches someday.
Yeah.
Like, I want them to move on. I want them to get to the pinnacle of wherever they choose to be in their football career, whether Byron Leftwich wants to be a head coach or not.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce wants that choice to be up to him.
Yeah.
He wants him to have that opportunity.
Agreed.
He wants to put him in good positions so that one day he has to choose. Hey, you have the opportunity now to become a head coach. Do you want it?
Yeah.
If you don't, okay, cool. But he's going to put Byron in a lot of different positions, I think, over the next 2 years, because I don't think that Byron's going to leave over the next two seasons. I mean, if he does well over these next two, then head coach job could come calling. But I think they're going to do enough for Byron to really make a name for himself as a coach here in the NFL.
You know who does not like to hire coaches? The Glaziers.
Of course.
They don't like it. They're not good at it.
This is known now.
Okay. And I'm talking about Jason Light's contract extension in my SR's Fab Five, just to kind of preview that a little bit, because that was really the big news this week is the fact that Light, back in January, signed a five-year deal. It's a four-year contract with a one-year club option.
Thanks for giving us the heads up, Jason.
Yeah, it's the same deal that he signed with Lovie Smith when Lovie hired him.
Right.
So this is not really Jason's third coach. This is actually his second coach because Lovie hired him. It's important to remember. And
Lovie hired Jason.
Yeah, Lovie hired Jason.
Yep,
so,
exactly.
So Bruce being the second head coach after Dirk that Jason's hired, and one of the things that the Glaziers, if you look at it, they inherited Rich McKay, right? And they hired Tony Dungy. And then when they were going to fire Dungy, it took them all the way into mid-February to land Gruden in the trade because they put Rich McKay in charge of that hire, and he served up Marvin Lewis, which to the Glaziers was like, okay, we're firing an African-American defensive-minded head coach, and we want to change. And we told you specifically an offensive-minded head coach, and you bring us Marvin Lewis, who's on the defensive side of the ball. So they kneecapped Rich and said, sit down, we're going to handle this. And they went back to Al Davis and got Gruden. And then
where was Mariucci and all that? Wasn't he close? Or
he was close. He was close. They didn't want Mariucci because they thought he was kind of like half in and half out.
And too Italian?
I don't think they thought that.
You can't get more Italian than that last name.
That's true. But then when Rich McKay left to go to Atlanta, they didn't even hire the GM. John did. John brought in Bruce Allen, right?
Yeah.
So the only time they were really in a situation to make a hire was when they fired John and Bruce, and they promoted Mark Dominic and Raheem Morris to general manager and head coach. That didn't work out too well for obvious reasons.
Byron Leftwich part two.
Yeah, he was actually here during that time.
Yep.
Please stop.
And then all of a sudden,
I'm saying, I mean, look, Scott's making a good point. They're not great at hiring
they're
coaches,
not.
And
they
if Byron Leftwich is the guy, you know, we talked about scenario of Bowles leaves is Leftwich the next guy. You got to have a conviction that this guy is a great coach. You can't hire him based on, well, he's a young upcoming guy. And we don't want anybody else to get him.
Mm-hmm.
They were under the impression Raheem Morris was going to be the next
Mike Tomlin. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't be fooled by that.
Right.
You have to believe in that guy is the actual right guy for
the roster. Yeah. Also, mega sucked.
It did. Oh yeah,
so,
it did.
Well, I'm not like
it was a
totally
huge transition period.
I mean, they were
Raheem,
a 9-7 football team. I mean, they weren't. It wasn't a 2-14 team.
Yeah,
that
but
he
that
inherited.
Was a lie.
They cleaned house.
They all knew that was a lie.
Why? Because Derrick Brooks was running on one leg.
No, I meant like when I was actually talking about when they went 10-6.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is what I was
smoking
saying.
Mirrors.
Oh yeah,
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 yeah. They were really 6-10, and they beat the Browns, Bengals, Rams, and Cardinals in the last minute of the fourth quarter and all those games, and all those four teams sucked.
Yeah.
That's the difference between 10-6.
That was the year that the
mirrors,
NFC West,
six
went,
and 10.
The division winner was a 7-9 team.
Yeah, the Seahawks.
Was that the Seahawks here?
Yeah. So to kind of bring it full circle, I think the Glaziers like the fact that, A, Jason got Bruce out of retirement, but, B, there's a succession plan. There's continuity on this staff. It's either Todd Bowles or Byron Leftwich, or as you mentioned, Harold Goodwin,
right,
who actually interviewed with Jason before he hired Dirk. That was one of those things. I know you. I'm going to give you some experience.
And we know Harold wants a head coaching job.
He does
badly.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, he talked about it in his first press conference here, and brought up some good points.
When was he
about
the closest? What do you think it was last when they when
Harold
the Bucks
Goodwin?
Hired? Yeah, when the Bucks hired
well,
Dirk.
I hate to say it, but Harold Goodwin, I believe, was he was the token Rooney Rule hire. And I think Jason kind of told him that at the same time.
I believe Jason told us that he was really impressed with,
he was.
With that interview.
He was
it
impressed.
May have been the Rooney Rule type deal. And you know what? People all say, well, that's stupid. Why do you even go through that? Because of the exact situation with Harold Goodwin. Because
it's experience.
And Jason went into it like, okay, let's go through this. And then he walked out of there going, wow. This guy's pretty impressive.
Right.
If Dirk doesn't work out, maybe he is the guy.
Yeah.
And maybe he tells other GMs, wow,
and that's
you, know,
exactly
you should take
it.
A look at this.
His name now goes around the league because of
that's
what
right.
he – because
right.
if you go in and you impress one general manager, mm-hmm. that's one more person that you can put on your resume to say,
sure.
this guy calls on your behalf when you're interviewing for your next job, whether that's 2 years, whether that's 5 years. That's after he leaves this job if he has an interview. When it happens to be another situation where he's the guy that gets called in, and he goes, and Jason Light calls up on his behalf.
And you know what? I mean, the Blazers were kind of scrambling, and Rich McCabe was scrambling to hire Sam Weish's replacement. They wanted Jimmy Johnson.
He said no.
They wanted Steve Spurrier. They went back to their third guy, but boy, were they so impressed with Tony Dungy in that mm-hmm. interview. You know, he was a hot name. He was the Vikings defensive coordinator under Denny Green at the time. They brought him in, and he exceeded all their expectations. Same thing with Mike Tomlin. When Mike Tomlin interviewed with the Steelers job, when he was the Vikings defensive coordinator and they were replacing Bill Cowher, the Rooneys did not expect Mike Tomlin to impress them and blow them away. And he did, and he got the job because of it. So all people need, regardless of their age, gender, color of their skin, whatever, is an opportunity. And Harold Goodwin got one here in Tampa. It was a dress rehearsal. He didn't get the job.
Right.
Everybody knew they were going to promote Dirk, which they did. But the fact that he's in this position here as a run game coordinator, and if this team turns it around and Bruce strikes magic here in Tampa as he did in Arizona, he's going to get some play too.
You know, speaking of getting some play, I went over to T.A. Mahoney's the other day.
I bet you did.
And played some poker in the back.
Did you?
No, it's not true. They don't do any illegal gambling there. But what I did do was check out their awesome selection of Bull Bay rods, their awesome selection of reels from high-dollar, high-quality deep-sea fishing reels to very affordable for the average person that's going to be just doing some fishing with their kid to the simple little Zepco 33s. T.A. Mahoney's, not just for your boat, not just for your trailer, but for you, the average angler. Look, it's hot right now. Fishing isn't great, particularly freshwater right now, but it's soon going to be cooling off. We get that first cool front that rolls through in October. All of a sudden, the bass start biting again. Now is the time to check out your equipment, see what kind of shape it's in. If it's not in good shape, screw getting it repaired. Just go get some new equipment at T.A. Mahoney's. And the great thing about T.A. Mahoney's is you walk in, you tell them what type of fishing you're going to be doing. They'll put together your rod and reel, your line, your tackle, everything you need to where you're ready to be out on the water, whether you're fishing at a local lake, whether you're doing some deep-sea fishing, whether you're doing some intercoastal fishing. T.A. Mahoney's, your one-stop shop, been in business since 1948, the same year Scott Reynolds was born, 1948.
Not at all.
TAMahoney's.com. You can find them online and thank them for being a sponsor of the Pewter Nation podcast.
All right, so we had that second preseason game we talked about after the game. Now we're heading into the Browns game. And in years past, what the coaches in Tampa and elsewhere will do and have done is play their starters for an entire first half and then have them come out after halftime and play one series just to kind of get that 15-minute cool-down period and then back on the field and then go at it again. That doesn't sound like it's going to be the case with Bruce, right?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to really read him. I mean, we thought the starters might play a little bit longer last week against the Dolphins, but he pointed out, hey, they got a lot of work in those two-day joint practices, so we don't need to do any more. I think we'll see the first half, but I don't know if we're going to see them come out in that third quarter or not. I mean, I didn't hear what Bruce said today after practice because I was doing a Scotty Miller interview. Did he talk about that, guys?
He didn't really talk about how much each player is going to play. He mentioned just, oh, yeah, we'll figure out the number of snaps in the game, see how the flow of the game is going. But I think there is a trend now in the NFL where it used to be the starters are going to play all the half, maybe a little in the third, like you just said, Scott.
Yeah.
But nowadays, you see a team like the Los Angeles Rams. Sean McVay doesn't play his starters almost at all in the preseason, and it's all because of that fear of injury.
Dirk Cutter philosophy.
Yeah, a little bit. And then
see how that works.
In his press conference yesterday, Coach Arians did say he was asked if he would be all right with moving to two preseason games, and he said, "Yeah, I'm all for it." Mm-hmm. But the thing that is important, and you just mentioned as well, Mark, is the joint practices. He wants more of that. Mm-hmm. He sees more value in the joint practices, getting reps against different opponents, than actually going live in the game.
And also, too, when you do joint practices, those coaching staffs get together and they script this out. We want to take a look at this. Can you guys give us a look? You know, give us a cover two look, right? But run your defense. Don't run our defense. Right. Run your cover two, but give us that look. And then we want you to bring pressure in this period. And I think that's where the value is these coaching staffs get together and they script this out so they know what to expect. If you're talking about a preseason game where there's some strategy involved and the score dictates, you know, certain things, whether you're going to run or pass, you might not get your running back's looks, right? If you're trying to catch up and put your quarterback in position where he's trying to win the game, if you want to get in field goal mm-hmm. range, you're passing the ball. And maybe that's to the detriment of a Bruce Anderson, right? He gets less carries than you expected. But in those scripted practices, in a joint capacity, you can make sure all your guys are getting the reps and looks that you want to see.
It's never going to happen, though, right? Because you're not going to take revenue away from the home games.
I don't think so.
I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I think what will happen going forward is I think you're going to see more coaches do two joint practices.
Is that up to them?
It is. It's up to the individual teams. And obviously, you do it on the turf of wherever the game is, right? So last year, the Bucks went to Tennessee before the Titans road game. This year, you had the Dolphins come here for the home game against Miami.
I don't think they're going to take away preseason games.
I don't think
so
either.
Get to charge full price for preseason tickets. They're like season tickets and everything like that. And then
agreed.
There's revenue
it's
of obviously everything that comes into the home games. So I don't think we're ever going to see the four go away.
But
they've even talked about adding.
I think to Matt's
regular
point,
season games.
You're going to see less and less players play in those preseason games.
Yeah,
which is going to devalue it even more. And so it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Can't be that.
But at some point in time, I think that you will see a flip because I don't know how
much lower it gets. Like the third preseason game is useful.
Yes,
but I mean the fourth one. It's clearly teams are just like, okay, we're just trying to get to the next week at this point. So. Yeah.
I mean, really, all you're determining at that point is four players, typically.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at players 53, 52, 51, 50. That's really it. You're making about between 4 to 6 roster spot decisions based upon, well, can any one of these guys step up and show us something, right? Or is somebody going to crap the bed and cost themselves a job? But that's it.
Yeah, Coach Arians said that today, that he'd be fine with cutting almost half of the roster spots right now in terms of going from 90 to the 53-man. And another interesting point, too, is if you do move to two preseason games, then you also got to decide how much do you play the starters in that. Does the first preseason game in a two preseason game schedule become the old week 3 preseason game when the starters play, or does game 2 become that? So there's a lot of things to figure out there as well.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, Bruce said about, I think, 2 weeks ago, or a week ago, he said, I could cut this roster down to 60 right now. And why does he not? Because you have more preseason games. And he's not going to play his starters as much. Like we said, those times are getting decreased. He said in the last 2 days, he goes, well, how much we're going to play him is going to be dictated on how we do. He said, if we go out and we play one 10-play drive, they might not go back in. If they go out there and they play 4 3-play drives, they might stay in for a quarter and a half. So that's a big deal, and it's just we're seeing so much less because the coaches do value, to your point, Scott, the practices, especially the joint practices, so much more because they can see exactly what they want from players in each situation. In the games, you're limited to, did we take a loss of 3 on that run? Did we pick up the 16 yards we wanted to pick up here? You can't script exactly what you want to see from these players, and that's exactly what you can do in practice, is you can go back and you can say, these are the situations we're working on today. This is what players I want put in this situation, whether that's a goal line, third down stand with a minute left in the game, whether that's we've got 30 seconds left, no timeouts, driving down the field. And that's not something that you can script no matter how many preseason games you play.
Yeah, I think that...
Sorry, I fell asleep.
It's
a little pretty long explanation.
We haven't heard from you in a while. Usually you're Captain Interruption. Now
dozing
you're like
off. Taylor gets started, and I just zone out sometimes. Sorry, Grizz.
Okay, so we're talking about, you know, catch up.
I heard
to speed
him say
here.
Something about there's a third play drive and then there's a 10 play drive, but if the 10 play drive doesn't work out, then the third play drive might work out. And
see,
then
I was on my
punt,
toes.
And then you have to go.
I was expecting something like this interjection during while I was talking. I was expecting the third play drive, like right after I said it, I was like, oh, God.
All right, you know what? Speaking of third play drives,
here we go.
Here we go.
I want you guys to take a third play drive and head over, you know where? To Morgan Street in
Tampa.
What
does that mean?
202, I don't know. Ask Taylor. He was talking about third play drives. 202 North Morgan Street in Tampa, Florida, where you will find Yeoman's Cask and Lion, where we will be hosting a watch party for that London game. Now, Scott and I won't be there, and I don't know that
where
we
can
get Trevor out of bed by 9:30 on a Sunday morning, but we'll try. He won't be there either.
Where are we going to be?
We're going to be in London.
Oh, we are going to London. That's
I'm
right.
I'm going to Australia to watch a game.
Somewhere else where they talk with a funny accent.
I'm going to tap into the Australian.
Go to the Falkland Islands.
The Falkland Islands.
So, 202 North Morgan Street in downtown Tampa.
Really
I don't say the F word, mother son of a guns. 202 North Morgan Street, Yeoman's Cask and Lion. This is the place where Trevor is going to go and attempt to eat all 10 lunch specials under $10. He doesn't understand it's going to cost him $100 to do that, not just $10. But they have 10 specials.
What are some of the specials?
We got like company credit, right?
We have
some barter that you can use
maybe,
and also a case of Tums.
I bet all three of us could eat all 10. Right?
The three of you, guys.
Yes,
Scott and I are. We're,
No.
Old man stage.
Well,
where
you
our
guys
stomachs
aren't
going to
be there, but
correct.
Me, Taylor, and Matt are going to
okay,
be there.
Okay, that's the deal. All right, so here you go. Peter
maybe
Nation.
I'm not going to be there. I don't know.
Here you go. Go to Yeoman's Cask and Lion. We're going to open up early, 9:30, right for that game.
Yep.
So it's going to be open for the game. And it's going to be filled with
Bud Light truck up at 9 is what he said.
It's going to be filled with Buccaneer fans, including yourself. So go out there and watch as Trevor, Taylor, and Matt consume all three lunch specials, all 10
we
lunch
can do
specials,
it, right?
Amongst the three of you.
I don't know how y'all are like eating a lot of food, but I could probably knock out like three of the plates myself.
I don't
so.
See any of you guys eating the Heartland salad, though. It's a mixed lettuce with fresh spinach, tomato, red onions.
Dude, I love
it's mind over matter.
Cheese.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to.
Yeah.
Just one. All right,
what are the
before?
Other ones? Do you have the other ones
oh,
there?
Oh, yeah. Here's
what
another one. There's no way you guys are eating the grilled vegetable sandwich. Grilled portobello, mushroom, zucchini, squash, and peppers with
it
creamy
sounds awesome.
Farty cheese.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I've really? Got more matter than mine, but at this point it's mind over matter. And look at us. Do we look like we can't eat this?
You got a Fergie melt, which is amazing. Sliced turkey, Swiss cheese,
okay,
apple wood
easy.
Smoked bacon. The Hutch Craft, which is an 8-ounce Angus burger. The Camden Town Caesar salad.
Don't throw me in the briar
they
patch.
They say you attract what you fear. Ah, bacon, so scary.
The Prime Minister shrimp, the fish and chips, $8.99. That's a bargain. Not even $10. They're less than $10, $8.99. Chicken tenders, if you're 4 years old. And the Underground, $9.99. That is grilled chicken covered with sauteed spinach, feta cheese, red onions, sun-dried tomatoes,
this
mayonnaise.
I'm ready to eat all 10 of them.
I'm getting really hungry right now just talking about this menu.
Each of us has a salad for an appetizer.
Yeah.
To get started, to loosen up the
is there three salads?
There's two.
Okay.
Oh, two salads? Okay, so we'll make do. We'll figure it out.
Two salads and two entrees?
A piece, yeah.
It's still not 10.
Yeah, but like that's if I'm knocking out like four, I got to hope that these guys could at least take three.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the good news
is shrimp one
for
of
all
them?
The fries.
For $100, you're going to eat more food than you'll be able to consume in one sitting. You'll be able to take some home. In fact,
I was told I could write this off as a tax thing.
This is
a business, right?
Business
it's a business
expense,
decision.
Right? It's a business expense.
You can meal prep the rest of the week.
Who said that? Who said it's a business decision?
Wow. Oh, boy. We'll keep
right,
Riz another day or two.
Sorry,
so Ford, I'm sorry. I wanted to say Ford's
but the
Garage,
challenge
owned
is
by
on.
Ford's, 23 restaurants group. They have the Yeoman's Cask and Lion. They also have a location over Kissimmee if you're listening in the Orlando area, even in eastern Polk County. Go check them out over at the Kissimmee location, located near the Margaritaville Resort. Yeoman's, a British-themed pub, great artwork, great music, great bartenders, great staff. Check them out and let them know you appreciate them sponsoring the Pewter Nation podcast.
So, again, that's October 13th. That's the Sunday the Bucks are in London against the Panthers.
It's my birthday.
Is it really?
No, my birthday's 26, but okay. At my age, I'm going to start celebrating early in case I don't make it.
In case you die, right?
Yeah.
Well, you need to call Chris Garrido, too.
In case the plane goes down.
Yeah. But so make sure do that. The game starts at 9:30. That location is going to be open just for the Pewter Nation fans out there, the PewterReport.com readers. So be sure that you're there at Yeoman's Cask and Lion downtown just by Amalie Arena on Morgan Street. And have a good time watching these three guys.
I was actually
wolf
there
down 10
before
menu
the,
items.
The Queen concert the other night. It was packed.
Yeah.
If we get too hammered, then somebody's going to have to write the most disappointing and most impressive for us.
Well, if, when you, if
well,
when
we won't be able
finish.
To because we're going to be 6 hours ahead of you guys.
No,
so
I meant
the
like
game
some,
will be over
no,
six
meant,
hours before
oh,
you see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
So, no?
Yeah, tape delay. Yeah. It's the Olympic tape delay.
Right. Right. You guys, we'll call you and let you know who won 6 hours
I can't remember,
before
what Olympics
it starts.
Was it where they were like trying to do tape delay? And I'm like, yo, Twitter exists.
It
like,
was
y'all,
Nagasaki
y'all
or
that, right?
The one over in Japan a couple years
something.
Ago.
Something. Somebody
ago.
Was trying to do tape delay about like, oh, we want to get the ratings for it. I was like, Twitter, man, it does not work anymore. This is you are not nearly as in control as you think you are.
Yep.
All right. So this third preseason game here, roster spots still on the line. Who do you guys think really needs to step up here? Who's on the bubble really, and who can solidify themselves?
Jameis Winston.
Jameis.
Easy. What?
Totally. Yeah.
Have you seen Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin play this preseason?
Ryan Griffin's played
exceptionally
well.
He's played okay against guys that will be flipping burgers.
He's just not going to be the guy.
Well. He's not the guy.
He's not the guy.
To what? To be the backup?
I don't think he's making.
He's
the
been
team.
The guy for the last few years.
I don't think he's making this team.
Nah, he's making the team. You can't.
I don't believe
guy.
So. And you know why? Because they're going to have to. Carry
all right. Does Ryan Griffin make the team? Let's hear it now, Mark.
Yes.
Scott.
No.
Taylor.
No.
Practice squad. So no.
No, he can't practice squad. He's too old.
Squad.
Yeah.
I don't think he makes the team because this team is going to have to carry an extra defensive tackle and an extra linebacker for Levante and for Vita.
Yeah.
And I'm coming out with my final 53-man roster prediction before this game.
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you cut Ryan, even if you just like cut him and go, okay, we just need an extra linebacker for a couple of games until Vita or Levante get back or whatever, Ryan Griffin will be gone. He will 100% be signed to another team.
I don't know.
For the numbers that he...
Mariota sucks.
For the numbers that he puts up this preseason, what he put up last season, I'm telling you, man, he's gonna be gone. Somebody's gonna sign this dude as a third quarterback.
He's never been in demand. He's had opportunities, and he's looked good in past preseasons.
I just think he's gonna.
Brent
be gone.
Brent Hundley has a backup job. Nathan Peterman has a backup job.
Yeah.
Ryan Griffin deserves
Blaine
a backup
Gabbert.
Job.
Well, he does.
Yes.
You're right.
Yes.
But he hasn't played a down. In a meaningful game, all the action he's gotten has been.
Well, you know what, Scott? How
string.
Do you get experience? That's always the thing. These guys get out of college, they apply for jobs. Well, we want somebody with experience. How do you get experience? Somebody's got to give you that opportunity.
Unpaid internships.
That's a good point. And that's what Ryan has been doing, except it's been very well paid internships.
Yeah.
Well paid internship.
Yeah.
He's
well
the
paid.
Smartest quarterback on the staff.
That's right.
Just not good enough to start, but good enough to make
that's
a million bucks
that's
a year.
That's who you want to be.
Yeah.
You want to be a quarterback.
1.5.
But I will hold a clipboard with like both hands for that money.
That'd be a little excessive. 10-2? Clipboard?
Yeah. Exactly.
Secure it.
Yeah. All right. So who needs to really show out? There's been a lot
Miller.
Of guys that
Scotty
have.
Scotty
Tanner
Miller.
Hudson needs to block somebody.
He does.
We've talked about that before.
Big time.
Because he, and I mentioned this when I was doing my kind of five main takeaways from camp. Tanner Hudson is clearly the third most effective tight end that they've
catching
had throughout the preseason.
Yeah.
Like he is, when you watch Tanner Hudson in practice and through first two games, you go, wow, this guy's he's a roster lock. But we've kind of also heard that like, he coaching staff doesn't love what he brings as a blocker.
No.
And if you're going to be tight end three, you've got to block.
Yeah.
Because you have to play special teams.
And Anthony Altair is good on special teams.
And he's bigger and he's stronger and he blocks.
And he blocks.
And so there is a reality that exists where a lot of Bucs fans might be pretty pissed off when Saturday rolls around and they do cuts and Tanner Hudson's name's on the cut list.
Yeah.
Because if he can't block, he can't be tight end three on this team. You can't keep four tight ends. They're going to, like you said, they're going to have too many other spaces, mainly on defense and offensive line, too, where they're going to have to keep some extra guys.
Right.
And I just don't think they're going to be able to keep four tight ends. And so
I don't think so either.
Their third tight end has to block. Yep. Even though Tanner Hudson has proved he's a much better wide receiver right now than Anthony Auclair, the value of a third tight end does not come from receiving.
If they're not keeping four tight ends, then it's not going to be Tanner Hudson.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They're not getting – Auclair is clearly
he's
got to
block somebody.
Because they have nobody that can block at the tight end position. OJ's okay. Cam is okay. But you're a fool to
– Who's the first name? It was okay?
Yeah, OJ's okay.
OJ's okay?
He's pretty good.
He's like Mike Allstott. He can do it, but it's not what he wants to do, and it's a dumb way to utilize a guy.
You just use the same word to describe what Cam Brate is a blocker and OJ Howard.
What do you mean?
Please repent.
What are you talking about?
What he's
saying is
OJ's a
better blocker
than
Cam. Yes, I agree.
Okay.
And both of them are better blockers than Tanner Hudson.
Good.
But Anthony Auclair is a better blocker
than
Cam Brate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you got to have that guy.
So he's my dude, just because he's
okay. I'm going to say Justin Watson. Okay, Justin Watson is a guy that
snooze you lose, Matt.
That was that was basically penciled in as wide receiver number four.
He's not.
Fifth round draft pick last year and played really well in special teams, but he's got to butter his bread catching the ball. And he's had some drops of some passes that have been tight. They're not easy catches. I'm talking about the touchdown that he should have had in Pittsburgh, and then that catch down there by the two-yard line where it hit him right in his right hand. And listen, they practice one-handed catches now. All right? Those aren't reserved for just OBJ and Mike. Like, you can make a one-handed catch. If you're in the NFL, you should be able to come up with some of those.
Well, and he's had two chances for big catches right there in the end zone. One was one-handed, one was kind of under. And it's like, you don't need to catch every one of those balls, but you've got to come down with some of them.
Well, he caught those balls last year in preseason.
He did. Yeah, he had a better preseason last year than he's having now. I think he's feeling some of the pressure. And I think that...
Why, though? He has no pressure, Scott.
No.
There is no... It is a logjam of mediocrity behind the top three guys.
I'm telling you, I've seen this movie before. Kenny Bell, remember the Nebraska receiver?
Yes.
He was and there was a lot of hype about him. He was getting separation, catching everything. The pads come on. Not so much. He goes into his first preseason game as a kickoff returner, and he fumbled the kickoff in the first preseason game. It was all downhill from there, right? And so here you have Justin Watson. Yep. He's got high expectations, playing in his hometown of Pittsburgh. His brother is there, right? And he doesn't come up with that touchdown catch. And you can kind of see that it kind of went sideways a little bit for him. And I don't think he's been as consistent. I think he feels the pressure. And I think the same thing can be said for Sean Murphy Bunting. I'm not trying to steal somebody else's name out there, but Sean Murphy Bunting did not have a good showing in that Pittsburgh game. And there's a lot of hype and a lot of good play in camp up until that point. And he hasn't made a play since.
Well, I think a lot of the pressure that comes to Justin Watson is this is the first time in his career that it isn't an uphill battle. He had one catch for 5 yards last year, and he had to bust his butt just to become a big impact guy on special teams because he never played special teams in college. He said he didn't play it until he got here, and his way to stick on the roster because he wasn't active for most of the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And then he became active because he busted his butt on special teams, was now on pretty much every role in special teams in one way or another. If you hear that's Mark. He's falling asleep.
Sorry,
I'm charismatic enough for
I'm trying to put pressure on him right now to make him uncomfortable.
But then, Justin Watson, Sean Murphy Bunting are both good guys. I think we're going to need to see something out of the bottom of the cornerback depth chart. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to see something out of Mazi Wilkins or Devontae Harris.
Is it Mazi or Mazi?
I've gone back and forth. I think I heard from one of the SIDs at USF that he kind of flipped between it. One year he was Mazi, one year he was Mazi.
It's kind of like Joe Theismann.
You don't get to say, my name's not Mark or Merrick. I mean, it's what my parents said it is. You don't get to choose.
No,
when you're an adult, you get to choose.
No, you don't.
There were multiple, I heard, like players do that.
It is true. Listen. I'm going by Trevor from now on.
Yeah, Trevor and Scat and Mott. Matara.
I'm going by Tyler, so everybody's right when they call me that, like they have for the rest of my life.
Listen, Joe Theismann, when he was at Notre Dame, his name is Theismann. It's Joe Theismann. And he actually changed the pronunciation of his name at Notre Dame so he could insert himself.
I heard he got that nickname from all the squats he did.
That was the Miami kid, the Miami quarterback, Malik Rozier. Everybody called him Rozier, but then for like a full year, we called him Malik Rozier. And then week one last year, I can't remember who's the Monday Night Football dude who took over for Gruden. Who is it? I don't. Or Tirico.
Jason Witten.
No, the other dude.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember.
Nobody knows.
But
Sean McDermott.
Yeah. His name is Malik Rozier, and so like people are trying to call him Rozier now, and it's just not a thing. Yeah. You got to stick with one.
Yeah.
If the whole nation calls you your name wrong, guess what your name is now?
Yeah.
It's Malik Rozier.
I've been calling Megan, and it's actually Megan.
Your
like
girlfriend?
For 4 years. I didn't say that. Just the person I know.
Okay.
But you said the same name 3 times.
Megan or Megan. Those are 2 different names.
Yeah,
Megan
I know one that's
a
specifically
Megan.
M-A-E-G-E-N.
But it's Megan, technically. No,
Megan?
She is.
It's Megan?
It is M-E-G-A-N. It's like, not Megan.
Okay, is it Mitten or is it Mitten?
No, it's is that Mitten.
This is now a names podcast.
Is it Payton or it's Payton?
Payton.
Can somebody, for the love of God, name another Bucks player that they're looking forward to, please?
Yes.
Scotty Miller.
Because
he's missed the first 2 preseason games, and he's a guy that I think most people had penciled in at that number 5 spot, had a tremendous offseason, early training camp, and then got dinged up with the hamstring injury. We'll have another edition of Training Camp Diary that will be out later this evening where he talks about that and the pressure that he's under and the fact that, you know, he felt some pressure when Bruce Arians said he needs to get his ass back out there.
Yeah.
He really strongly consider going out there against the wishes of the trainer. So there's a little preview of what we got in the final final training camp diary from Scotty Miller. But that's my guy. He's a guy that, you know, he thinks it's wide open after those three guys. You know, he says there's a ton of talented guys, but he doesn't know that anybody's really stepped up. You had a guy like Spencer Schnell have an amazing first preseason game against
Pittsburgh.
Just
disappear against the Dolphins.
Yeah, wasn't even there. Yeah. So nobody's really, you know, I think Bryant Mitchell could have won that job. I mean, Here's a guy. I mean, who knows? Bobo. Probably Bobo.
Bobo's on the team by default right now.
Right.
I mean,
and what he brings to the return game is almost valuable enough to keep him as the last receiver if he can just be a capable guy there.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's basically Antonio Brown. They just haven't given him a chance.
Yeah. Without the same helmet issues?
Yeah, and he hasn't burned his feet.
Well, he froze.
By the way,
feet.
Hard Knocks is tremendous this year.
Did he burn his feet or freeze his feet?
Didn't watch last night.
Really good episode. Yeah. Really, Frank Caliendo comes in and does his Gruden impression.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Holy
stuff.
Cow, Glennon, it was brilliant.
So just
in fact, I would have watched a whole hour of Frank doing John Gruden, honestly.
And so just to kind of finish my point before we pass it over to Matt for the last one. Yeah, Mozzie and Devontae Harris are right there at the bottom because Ryan Smith suspended for the four games, and that's what makes it so big. Is you've got Vernon Hargreaves, you've got Carlton Davis, you've got Jamel Dean, you've got Sean Murphy Bunting, and then you've got kind of MJ Stewart, depending on whether you want to play him just at the nickel or at safety. He's in the mix, but I think you've got spot for one more cornerback, and Mozzie's got the instincts, but he's also lacking size. So we'll see who can win that out. Matt?
Yeah, I mean, we just touched upon it with the wide receiver group, but yeah, I really would have gone with Bobo Wilson. Just in terms of going into this training camp, you really thought he would have been the odd man out, and then as we just spoke about with Justin Watson really struggling, Bobo Wilson's been the most consistent in terms of his last game. He probably had one of the better games out of the wide receivers fighting for that fourth and fifth spot. Mm-hmm. So what I really want to see from him in this game is take that next step to separate himself from Justin Watson, from Scotty Miller, we haven't seen anything yet, from Spencer Schnell as well. Just keep being consistent and do something in the return game too, because Ronald Jones was doing the kickoffs there, but with whatever happened with his knee in the last game,
well,
that would be something that...
That's how Bobo
well.
Really stuck originally
was
to make
a kick
the practice
returner,
squad
yeah.
was a kick returner a couple years ago. And without that, he probably would not have even made the practice squad and would have bounced back and forth between the active roster and the practice squad.
You know, you mentioned Ronald Jones, and the interesting thing about that is we all saw it.
Kick returner one?
That kick return, the first kick return, he hyperextended his knee.
Yeah, in the press box, everyone was like, ooh. And then I watched it again a day later, and seeing it live was on the TV was even worse.
Yeah, so there was that injury. He played through it, right? And if you remember, Bruce came out, was asked about Dari Ogunbowale and how he's impressed, and he says, well, he's fought through injuries. Like, he's been out there every day, and I know he's not healthy, but you can tell. And you have to wonder how much of that message, Bruce sending messages to the players through the media, gets Ronald Jones back out on the practice field this week. Because I thought for sure,
he was going to be done.
He hyperextended his knee. He's going to miss this week. They'll probably play him in week four, maybe a little bit of the preseason, but no, I mean, we saw Ronald Jones take, two or three practices off, and then, boom, he's back out there.
And returning kicks, too, got hurt doing this.
Yeah,
so
you got to wonder how much of that is him looking at Dari saying, wow, man, you're moving up the depth chart, and my momentum is slowed. I'm sitting here on the sidelines. I got to get back out there in the race.
All right, that's it. We're wrapping up. Did everybody get their final player in? Trevor, did you get yours in?
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
Dozed off when Grizz was talking.
Yeah, I say Tanner Hudson.
We went 43 minutes. We could probably cut this down to about 28 minutes if we cut Grizz's parts out. Matt, get a quick little 30-minute podcast. And actually, people keep coming in the store wanting to know why we're in here, although we have permission to be in here. We're in the main Buccaneer studio, in case anybody's wondering. All right, we will be back on Friday night after the Baker Mayfield Browns-led victory over the Buccaneers in Game 3. It doesn't matter. It's preseason. I just like to rile people up.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if they go 0-4 or 4-0.
You remember
the
last time the Browns came down here, the Bucs got 7 sacks in that game.
Yes, Quan Alexander almost
Browns.
Killed Josh McCown.
He did,
Josh McCown, who's resurfaced again.
At age 40.
Amazing.
Cockroach.
Yep. All right, for Matthew Matera, for the Grizz, for Trevor Sickham, my boss, and our intern, Scott Reynolds, I'm Mark Cook, and we'll see you next week with another edition of the Pewter Nation Podcast.
Out.
Out.
Bobo out.
Out.